Saint Red, This Year's Month, by Jordan D. White. Episode 9, Lip Service. Chelsea didn't usually dream her visions. Some prophets did, she knew, but it had never happened to her. Her typical dreams were mercifully peaceful. This came in handy when, after hours of ruminating and lamenting her bitter past, she would drift, softly weeping, into a blissful slumber of forgetting, without so much as the smallest Freudian symbol slipping into her head. You can imagine, then, that it made her grumpy when, far too soon after her arrival in the land of forgetting, someone abruptly knocked on her door. Chelsea was still slightly wet on the floor, lying in the loose stuffing from her bed. After about a second and a half of renewed consciousness, her head began throbbing. She regretted just about her entire life at that moment. She began to pull herself to her feet, which took far more difficulty than she thought it would. Little bits of the stuffing clung to her moist body. She attempted to brush them off as she grabbed her towel and wrapped it around herself once more. Again, she heard the knock at the door. She looked through the peephole. She started to panic, but then saw that Allison was still wearing the same outfit she had before, nothing too fancy. Chelsea crossed to the dresser and grabbed her sword out of her still broken scabbard. Gathering her towel around herself tightly, she ran at the door. The sword slid soundlessly through until the hilt thudded to the wood. Chelsea could hear a yelp outside.
Man, Chelsea.
What the hell do you want, Argento? Get the hell out of here.
Chelsea, we need your help. It's Red.
Red doesn't want my help. Red doesn't need my help. He's the golden boy, remember? The perfect damned saint.
Someone's controlling his mind, Chelsea. We need your help to stop him.
Chelsea dropped her sword. It sliced down through the bottom half of the door as it fell, gouging a line before settling into the floor.
Crap.
Chelsea, let us in.
It's not like I can beat Red anyway.
What? Let us in, Chelsea. I know things haven't been going that great, but you can't just leave town before things are taken care of.
Why the hell not?
She shook her head gently, as if shaking off one thought for another.
Leaving town? That's a good idea.
What?
Chelsea grabbed her bags and began tossing her things into them.
What are you doing?
You heard me!
No, I didn't. This is... All right, this is ridiculous.
Chelsea could hear the series of rapid footsteps, and then Argento came smashing through the mostly severed door into the room. She responded by performing a spinning kick, which connected with Argento's face as her towel fluttered to the ground.
Get the hell out of here!
Allison poked her head around the doorframe. Chelsea scurried to her dresser and picked up her gun from where it lay in its broken holster. It clicked as she flipped off the safety, aiming for Allison's widening eyes.
And don't you even think about coming near me.
Whoa! Chelsea, calm down, please!
Argento scrambled to his feet, clutching at his nose, attempting to quell the tide of blood Chelsea's foot had called forth.
No, I know what this is. You're just here to get me to help Red. I won't do it!
No, Chelsea, that's not it. We're...
Argento's voice lowered quite a bit as he appeared to grow more serious and urgent.
We're here to help you. Red's lost his way, that's obvious now. I'm no fool. I need to back the winning horse here, and that's you. You know I can help you, Chelsea. You know I can. I've helped Red for years.
Ha! Back when you were competent. You were a different person then.
You can think what you want, Chelsea, but I'm not. I stopped doing what I was told, that's all. Stopped marching to their drummer. But you don't march to that beat, do you, Chelsea? You need someone who can help you do what you do best. Then get the hires to realize that your results are worth the breach of protocol. You know I can be that for you.
Yeah. Right up until we save Red.
Screw Red. Red's a whiny brat. Red has been sitting here for a year, doing nothing. Red's a waste of my time. Red's not going to do any good in the world. You are.
Chelsea's grip on her gun slackened a bit.
Are you serious? Are you serious or are you joshing me?
I am deadly serious, Chelsea. We're going to be a team.
Chelsea kept him locked in her gaze for another few moments, sizing up the offer he'd put on the table. Eventually, she decided to go with it. Argento had made the right choice, finally. He hadn't been liaison to one of the top agents for years by being a fool. It made sense he would wise up.
All right.
She relaxed her gun, bringing it down to her side. The cold metal against her thigh made her remember that she was naked. She scrambled for her bags, grabbing some clothing and dressing.
But Allison is not part of this deal. As soon as we put a stop to this Red nonsense, she takes him far away, never to be seen again.
Agreed. You'd better finish packing, though. I think we're going to have to change hotels again.
Chelsea zipped up her bag and tossed it to Argento, who let go of his nose as the baggage thumped into his chest.
Oh, wait!
Ow!
She lunged for the ice bucket on the floor by the television.
I don't think you need a drink right now, Chelsea. This time is somewhat of the essence here.
The champagne bottle lying in the ice was long since empty, however, and Chelsea gently brushed it aside, her true goal hidden beneath it. She shoved her hand into the ice.
I've been saving this for you.
Chelsea pulled her hand out of the bucket, holding up a dripping, severed finger.
Oh, gross!
Red held his breath as they dove below the tree line in just the right spot to clear the gaping metal doorway into the ground. Yellow and Pink landed with grace as Blue deposited Red onto the ground as delicately as he could. When Red was on solid ground, Blue slowly lowered himself to join him.
That was terrific, Red. We took out the entire superstore without a single serious injury. That's exactly how we'll stick it to that capitalist imperialist swine.
Pink pulled off her helmet, revealing herself to be a dark-haired Caucasian woman of about 30.
We're proud to have you on our side. I'm Amy Hart.
She stuck out her still-begloved hand to Red. He shook it vigorously.
Quan. Twee Quan.
Said Yellow, also now with a human head. She was clearly Asian, around the same age as Red, but Red wasn't able to tell what country she was from. He shook her hand as well, smiling. Blue pulled up on his helmet next, knocking his thick wire-frame glasses askew. He straightened them and then, tucking his helmet under his left arm, extended his hand to Red.
Steve Orlowski.
He looked to be more in the range of 40, and he had a mustache with a touch of gray in it.
It's really an honor to be working with such an incredible professional.
It's nothing, said Red. He supposed it was all the training he'd forgotten DINR had put him through. I'm just happy to finally find myself among like-minded peers who can help me take down the plutocratic infrastructure that has usurped our free market economy.
You can certainly count on us.
Red looked around himself. They were in some sort of hangar, the doors they had flown through, were slowly closing themselves. A couple of random workers in red jumpsuits began to help the liberal mediators take off their flying gear and stow it in one of the four stations around the bay. Red wondered where the fourth mediator was. This is quite an expensive-looking setup you've got here. How did you get the funding? Amy and Twee both looked at Steve. Steve hesitated for a moment.
I'm sad to say that my parents were part of the problem. They became rich in the rise of the corporation. Now that they are gone, I have devoted their tainted money to the destruction of the hand that has fed me.
A noble cause.
A cause we would be pleased to have you join up with officially.
The pleasure would be all mine.
Come, Red. Let me show you on a tour of our facilities. We have much to show you.
Sir.
A shortish man in his mid-20s with dark curly hair ran into the room, stopping in front of Steve, catching his breath.
We've got a visual on the woman who, killed Tommy.
He held out a few printouts that appeared to be taken from a security camera of some sort. Red craned his neck to look.
Can't you see I'm busy, Cats? I have Mr. Coates here.
Chelsea! Said Red, his eyes narrowing. Steve's eyes widened.
You know this woman?
Yeah, unfortunately. She still works under the corporate yoke from which I extracted myself. You say she killed someone?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Tommy, our fourth mediator. Why don't you tell me about this woman while I show you around?
No problem. It all starts with, shock of shocks, a corporation. This one called DINR.
Tell me all about it.
Sobering up wasn't fun for Chelsea, but it was necessary if she wanted to have any chance at taking Red down at all. It involved lying in her third hotel room in town thus far, trying to avoid moving for untold hours while her body throbbed beyond the verge of pain. When at last she emerged from her daze, she walked out of the bedroom of the suite to find Argento and Allison had set up a base of operations in the living room. They had laptop computers, a printer fax machine, and a slew of printouts scattered about.
Ah, welcome back.
Did I miss anything?
Just information gathering. We've been sorting through a number of sources, trying to find out as much as we can about these armored flying folk. Ooh, alliteration. Anyway, oh, and it seems Red's officially linked up with them since he left us.
He grabbed a printout of a picture depicting three of the flyers, of various colors, carrying a man clad in red and black. You couldn't make out his face, but it was fairly obvious who he was, if you knew.
That bastard. When did he start killing innocent people?
They haven't, actually.
Shut up!
They haven't, since Red joined up with them. While we were gathering you up yesterday, Red and company were busy destroying an entire Walmart superstore without a single casualty.
Then they're fooling him. These people blew up a video store with a couple of people in it.
A few, actually. The media was supposing them to be car bombs, but from what you've told us, that was part of the plan. Those, plus Walmart, CCI, the computer pods, the attack on Circuit City that Red stopped, and the vision Alice had that made her go crazy. It seems someone has it out for modern technology. We think the mall is the next most likely target. The mall here has a Radio Shack, an FYE, and two video game stores.
Sounds pretty good to me. Though, hey, they didn't get Circuit City, so they may go back for it.
Good point. Hold on.
He typed something into his computer. A moment later, a little chime rang out.
What are you doing?
Chelsea made her way around the array of devices and papers.
Letting Warner know what you just said. He says it's a good point, too.
Warner? In Chicago? You're talking to Warner about me?
Well, yes. That's my job. To connect to the corporation. How else can I get information? I sent them that finger. We're awaiting an analysis. What did you think I would do with it?
Chelsea screwed up her forehead, thinking about that for a moment.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't usually keep them informed, that's all.
I know, and let me tell you, they are thrilled to hear from me. They like having the chance to find out how you work. They hear so little about it aside from your results.
Just don't bother me with their stupid orders.
They wouldn't dream of it. They're just glad to hear we have things in hand.
What did you tell them?
Everything. Well, minus a few details. I left out Red and Allison, of course, but all about these flying things and the attacks.
I guess they'll have to get used to it, hearing from us. I mean, you can keep them posted on what we're going to do, so long as they don't think they can tell me what to do. I mean, you know, after this, when we finish this, and it's just you and me.
Oh, of course.
Okay. So who do I beat the crap out of?
Yes, well, we don't have any leads on the crap-out-beating front. Mostly we just have ideas of where they might strike next. The mall, and as you said, Circuit City again. Any feelings on the matter?
Chelsea closed her eyes and tried to clear her mind. She hadn't had any visions of either the mall or Circuit City since the one with Red and the discus thing. She wasn't getting any particular buzz off of either one as she rolled them around in her mind. She quietly began to focus on her mantra.
I think Circuit City. It's popped up in my visions a few times now. It sort of makes me feel uneasy just thinking about it. It's more likely.
Chelsea's eyes opened into a glare, meeting Allison's eyes instantly. Allison looked away.
Fine. I'll go to Circuit City. You two stake out the mall.
That's fine.
Argento held out a set of car keys.
I picked you up another rental. And take this. Call us if you need anything.
He was holding out a cell phone to her. She reluctantly took it from him, but pledged she would not even dream of calling until she'd taken the bastards out on her own.
We'll head out in a few minutes. If we don't see anything by, let's say, 5 o'clock, we'll call you, okay?
Sure, whatever, Chelsea thought.
Here are the plans, sir.
Katz handed a rolled-up paper to Red. Thank you. Good work. He unfurled the blueprints and began to study the layout. Yes, yes, this is very good. I knew I remembered seeing a door there. Look! He gestured to a certain part of the layout. Here, near the McDonald's. There's an entrance to the series of back hallways and such, see? If we can get into those, we can travel to where we need to and appear in the stores from within, causing the people to flee outwards, get it? Instead of chasing the people into the stores we want to blow up, we'll be chasing them out. See, it connects to all the stores along each side, and we can chase them out, light it up, and move on to the next one. Red had been given his own desk and his own office from which to plan out their next attack. It was his, but there had never been less than 2 other people in the room since he'd gotten there. People were so eager to help him, to jump at his every order.
That's great. Really, I don't know how we would have done it otherwise. People would have been killed. I mean, we could have hurt someone, really.
Steve will love it.
What will I love?
Red's come up with a great plan. We'll take out the mall without any casualties. It's so much less hassle to just blow up buildings than to go in and...
I've been meaning to ask you guys about that. Those other places, the video stores, the church, did you do those?
The church was an accident caused in Tommy's struggle with your friend Chelsea. The video stores, I'm afraid, we must take credit for. We were confused, I assure you. We wanted to strike a blow for the people against the fascist power structure, but we made a mistake. We thought that the only way to wake the masses from their ignorant sleep would be for them to hear their own innocent cries, but now you've shown us the way. We can destroy the power structure on a small scale and leave the people to discover that there is, in fact, another way than to continue to suckle at the corporate teat.
Chelsea blew up the church?
No, no. It was a stray rocket in the fight. Again, it was a mistake we regret more than we can ever make amends for. If we could go back, we would do things your way from the beginning. What can I say? We aren't as skilled as you are at these planning sessions.
Red looked down at his hands on the blueprint. Well, I just hope you'll try to give some sort of help to the families of the victims of your mistakes. Steve's eyes widened.
Of course. We'll get right on top of that. We'll put together a list of those killed in the blasts and contact their families. Anonymously, of course. Offer them any assistance we can.
Amy and Twee shared another glance, something Red noticed them do a lot. He wondered why he made them so nervous.
Speaking of Chelsea, I wanted to return this to you.
Steve held up Red's sword from where he had been holding it behind his back.
We've finished our analysis. I'm not sure exactly how much of what we saw we completely understand, but I've got a number of our best people working on trying to figure out a way to counter it.
Great! I have a feeling we're going to run into trouble with her sooner or later. It'll be nice to know we might have a way to stop her. How long do you think they'll need? He slipped the sword into its holster behind him, and it disappeared.
There's no way to really know. If you hear someone shout, "Eureka!", you may want to take a look, otherwise we can't be sure.
So, when do you want to move on the mall?
Oh, I don't know, maybe around 5:30 or so? Actually, that was the other reason I came to see you, about the mission. I have a surprise for you.
Steve smiled, his mustache spreading a little wider with his grin.
Come with me.
I'm going to head topside.
Sure.
What is above the complex, anyway? Red joined Steve in a golf cart, and Steve sped them down the longish hallway leading to the hangar.
Just an office building. Nothing obtrusive. Subtle.
We're going to the hangar?
Yep.
Steve stopped the cart outside the door.
Go on in.
Red got out of his cart and went through the archway, where he found a bright red Liberal Mediator's outfit all laid out in the fourth station. It was brand new, so beautifully clean and shining. Red ran up to it and touched it, the smooth metal surface gliding almost frictionless under his fingertips. Two of the red jumpsuit people were standing on either side of it, smiling.
You like it?
Of course!
Try it on. I'll show you the basics.
Allison was really beginning to hate Chelsea. She'd never done anything to Chelsea as far as she knew, nothing she remembered anyway. Chelsea was just so incredibly hostile to her all the time. Allison wanted to get out of Chelsea's life just as much as Chelsea wanted her gone. Allison would be happy just going back to school and getting back to her life, though the more complicated this whole escapade became, the less likely it would be easy. As it was, she had no idea when she was going to write that lit crit paper. No, instead of doing her schoolwork, she was waiting for Argento to get his shoes on so they could spend a few hours walking around the mall looking for signs of sabotage. That was how she usually spent her Wednesdays, right? The fax machine had begun to whir to life.
Oh. Whoops, hold on a second.
Come on, the mall could have burned down 5 times by now.
Argento shot her a look and leaned over the fax machine, watching the paper come through.
Oh, it's about the finger. Frank, Thomas, David, Frank. More to follow. Ah, they're also faxing all the available information on Mr. Frank. Excellent.
Is this going to help us? What are we looking for on that? I mean, if we don't know this guy, and we don't, how will it help?
Patience, Allison. Not all of us can have their information hand-delivered into their brains. Some of us have gotten quite skilled at research.
He took the second page off the machine.
For example, here we have more information on Mr. Frank. He's originally from California, and he... Oh, my.
What?
We have to go right now.
What? Where? Why?
Circuit City. Chelsea may be in grave danger.
End of episode.